This is Mythical.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Taco, a really good food involving a tortilla. Burrito, also a really good food involving a tortilla. But which one reigns supreme? This is a hot dog as a sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What? Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show where we break down the world's biggest food debates. I'm your host, Josh Scherer.
And I'm your host, Nicole Hendizadeh.
And today, Nicole, we're taking on a discussion that means a lot to both of us, I believe.
Yes.
And you and I both grew up in Southern California. We are huge fans of Mexican food. We grew up eating it on the regular all the time.
All the time.
But every time you go to a taqueria in L.A., well, or is it a
burrito?
Burritoria. Yeah. I mean, you're always faced with a choice, right? I mean, there's obviously a panoply of options in the Mexican food canon involving
Absolutely.
Tortillas. But we're not getting into vampiros or mulitas.
Or taquitos.
Or machetes. Have you ever had a machete?
What's a machete?
Oh, it's like this taco. It's like 3 feet long. Favorite journalist, Patricia Escarcega of the LA Times wrote about this place that serves machetes. And I got one. They're like this 3 foot long folded quesadilla.
Wow.
Anyways, burrito versus taco. That's a classic case study.
It's classic for some, but it's clear for me.
It's clear for you. What's your
always
answer?
Always tacos.
Wait, for real though, always tacos? What do you think the percentage is?
Personally?
Yeah.
Okay, so I consume much more tacos than I do burritos.
But that's only because you consume like three tacos per one burrito, if not more.
No, yeah, that's the normal mathematical equation. 3-to-1.
A 3-to-1 ratio.
Yeah, 3-to-1
but
ratio.
A 3-to-1 ratio of times you're ordering tacos, not total tacos consumed.
No, total tacos consumed.
Total tacos consumed. But to me, that's a 1-to-1.
What?
Because
what? Josh, I just said I eat three tacos for like three tacos satisfies me the way one burrito does.
No, for sure. But I'm saying like if you go to a restaurant that offers burritos and tacos of roughly equivalent quality, right? So you're not going to like a taco specialist or a burrito specialist. You're going to what's the spot?
Pink Taco.
Oh God, Pink Taco. What a
Is
terrible
that where
example.
You were I don't know.
Well, yeah, but so okay. God
I'm
dang it. Let's.
I don't know what else to say. You said the one over there, and I know that way Sunset. So I said, okay, it's Pink Taco. Okay,
Alfredo's.
Tacos.
I was talking about Alfredo's
what
in Burbank.
You've never been to Alfredo's.
Bro. Alfredo's. It reminds me of like the San Diego County style taquerias that do like the carne asada fries.
I don't hang out in Burbank. I don't explore Burbank. No offense, Burbankians.
I love the local Burbank Mexican scene. Okay, say what's the Pablito's? Pablito's tacos in Burbank. We enjoy them. Are you going tacos or burritos?
Always tacos.
Always. That interesting.
Okay, let me tell you why.
Please.
Okay, number one, when I like the individuality of a taco, it fits well in my hand. I enjoy it. I savor it. It drips a little bit, whatever. It's a little bit messy. But it's perfect bites each time, which I really enjoy. It's normally my taco order is taco, meat, salsa, a little bit of onion, a little bit of cilantro. That's my typical taco of choice. What were you gonna ask me?
Sorry, I just interrupt people.
It's okay.
Well, it's not interrupt.
It's fine. You can interrupt me.
I was gonna ask if you are ordering the same type of taco or if you always go for the variety. Because if that's important to you, I totally understand that argument.
Sometimes I'm a variety girl. Sometimes I just want straight up carne asada. Sometimes I straight up just want chorizo.
Tacos 1986 is a great example of like they have multiple good tacos, right? They do that like mushroom asada.
Oh my
thing.
God, their mushroom tacos are the best thing I've ever had in a long time.
It's really or Sonora Town where it's like their carne asada is like what you go to get. get.
Yeah.
Like, do you veer off? I'm trying to suss out if you are someone who variety just means a lot to you, or are you just getting like four carne asada tacos and just hammering them home?
Most of the time. Okay, so my typical taco truck. Can I give you my taco truck order?
Please. What taco truck? Shout them out.
I love El Chato.
El Chato.
El Chato is my number one. Yeah. Taco Zone is number two. And Leo's is number three.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my favorites. I always get a carne asada, I always get a pollo, and I always get a lengua. Those are the three I always get. And then I get cilantro and onion, and then I get a lot of radishes on the side,
mm-hmm.
a lot of lime on the side.
I love the escabeche.
Yeah. I don't always get the escabeche. Ooh, I don't
that's
always
an appetizer
do it.
For me.
Yeah.
The escabeche is that pickled carrot, jalapeno, onion.
Mm. Correct.
With the oregano in there. Dang.
Yeah, it's a good appetizer, but I don't like it to much. I don't think it accentuates my tacos. I think it takes away from my tacos.
Fair enough.
But yeah, I just get three of those and I'm satisfied. I'm sitting on the corner of the floor. No, I'm sitting in my truck. I'm sitting not in the trunk, not in my truck. I'm sitting in my trunk. I'm enjoying myself. I'm listening to music, whatever. Like, a burrito does not happen. I can't do that with a burrito. Even if I'm at a restaurant, I can't just pick up a even helping baby a food and shove my mouth around
it. It's an 8-pound newborn burrito wrapped in foil.
I can't do that. Like, there's like even like a burrito with what is it called? Like wet style mojado.
Yeah, burrito mojado.
Yeah, burrito mojado. Like, there's no elegant way to eat that either. There's no elegant way to eat a taco either. But it's a little bit more. It's easier to eat for me personally. It's easier for me to consume. It's easier for me to eat. Also, a burrito is a lot of food. Taco,
it's
not
a commitment.
So much food.
A burrito is a commitment.
A burrito is a commitment. And I, you know, I'm a Gemini. I have commitment issues. Everybody knows that anyways. And it just makes more sense for me to eat tacos. Just makes, like, maybe I want a little bit more hot sauce on this one. Maybe I want a little bit more lime on this one. Maybe, you know, I'm just going to go crazy and just eat it the way it is. Like, I don't. The burrito is too much for me to handle.
I feel like when we started this out, you should have said, I like tacos because I'm a Gemini. And that's it. That's it. You're done. Nicole, I used to be like you. And I need you to know that. I used to be like you where I valued this variety in my life. And I would go to my favorite taco truck. And my favorite taco truck is Tacos Tomix. They used to park out in Palms by the Smart and Final. And I had a ritual. I would go. Taco Tommy, they got the best al pastor in the city. So much better than Leo's. I love Leo's. Leo's is fantastic. This is a bunch of insular LA taco knowledge, but know that Leo's, they're open till like 3 a.m. Yeah. And you would stop there after the bars and they would have this giant spit of al pastor on the open flame, fire roaring. You can hear and smell the pork fat and pineapple sizzling on it.
Yep.
There'd be a line of 50 people, but it's such a well-run operation, which is to me a huge part of like taqueria culture. Mm-hmm. It's got to be really well-run. They got it just, I mean, the
like
tortilla.
Yeah.
Like clockwork. The tortilla comes off the flat top. Meat goes inside immediately. You're at the salsa bar in 30 seconds, shoving it in your mouth.
Yep.
And so I absolutely
That's
love
the
way
Leo's, it should be eaten.
But Tacos Tomix, they don't have all the flair and they don't have all the fanfare, but they have the best al pastor marinade. Mm. It is just so much warm spice and chili and pineapple, and the pork is beautifully fatty and stained red. But I used to go there every Wednesday after going to, was it Bigfoot Lodge West? You ever go there? It's a bar in
Palms.
Yeah,
the one that is a cabin.
Yeah, yeah, it's
the
like
one
cabin
that
themed.
Is a cabin.
It's a cabin.
I have been there three times.
So they used to have a trivia night that I would go to every single Wednesday.
Shut up, really?
It was so awesome. And they had $5 happy hour before like 8 p.m. So you'd like load up on $5 old fashions in Manhattan.
Sounds like fun.
And so I'd be a couple cocktails deep just on a Wednesday night doing the thing. And then we would always go to Tacos Tomix and I would get, you know, four al pastor tacos.
Okay.
And so they're not quite as clockworky because they're a food truck. They don't have the outdoor operation. And so I would notice, I would eat the first taco, beautiful, hot, styled to my liking, and then the second taco, a little less hot, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you're eating through it, and then by the time you get to the fourth taco, it's just cold. One, you're like $3-$5 Manhattans deep, and so you don't really care.
Yeah.
But I made a decision one day, a very fateful day, that I would get the al pastor burrito.
Okay.
Which is like, so in LA doesn't have, I mean, we obviously have a huge burrito culture,
we
but,
do.
You know, people mostly accredit, say, the Mission-style burrito, which is what Chipotle copied. You know?
Okay. So you mean like Mission, like San Francisco Mission?
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So this was started at like
Great Mex. You were gonna. I know exactly.
El Farolito.
Oh my god. That's my favorite.
El Farolito. Yeah.
Oh my god. That is the best burrito I've ever had. Yes, I ate a burrito there. It was so good.
Yeah,
oh
so so San Francisco, in the Mission District, they have El Farolito, La Taqueria. There's like El Toro Bravo. There's a couple other really big, great burrito meccas in San Francisco.
Yeah.
But they put the rice, the beans, the sour cream, the avocado, all the sauces, all that.
Yep.
It's what Chipotle copied. They copied the Mission style.
I had no idea.
Yeah, and so now that's become really popular. But LA, like, we don't necessarily have that. And even if you go to San Diego, they got their own burrito culture.
I love San Diego's burritos.
I do too. I grew up in Oceanside for a time. My dad lived there. Parents divorced. Spent summers there.
Uh-huh.
You know, that whole song and dance.
Yeah.
But anyways, you know, I'd take $2.49 and I would go down to a place just called Toes. Because in San Diego especially, there's like Alberto's, there's Albertacos, there's Albatros, there's all these Mexican restaurants that...
Albatross.
Yeah, I mean, it's Albatross. But this place is called Toes, and I would get, you know, they're like... carne asada and potato burrito with the guac smeared on it.
Toes. Sorry, that's really funny.
It was dank. Point is, LA doesn't have like a huge burrito culture. If you go into a taco truck, you're typically getting tacos.
Yeah, the burrito. You know? I understand what you're saying, but I still think there's a few restaurants that are like burrito.
Well, one of my favorite restaurant and friend of the show, Burritos La Palma.
Yeah.
Is a great example.
Oh my gosh.
But anyways, I got this Al Pastor burrito and I was worried that you wouldn't let the Al Pastor meat shine because it had rice and beans in this burrito and all this, except every single bite of this was the best bite of anything I've had in my life. And you can add hot sauces to the different bites and then the rice just gives it like a warm hug. I know you're anti-rice in a burrito.
I am anti-rice in a burrito.
But the rice just soaks up the hot sauce, you know, they got the four different salsas in the salsa bar, soaking up the habanero, soaking up the arbol, soaking up the tomatillo, right? You're getting the crunchy onions in there. The beans are just this little velvet blanket making the Al Pastor marinade travel across your palate. Nicole, what I'm saying is burritos are king because they are a warm hug inside your mouth hole.
You don't even like hugging.
Let burritos hug your mouth hole.
You don't even like hugging.
It's true. Every time I say it's like a warm hug, it's just like in theory for me.
Yeah, it's
Nicole's
like in
right.
theory.
Don't like human contact.
Yeah,
you know?
You hate hugs.
Yeah, yeah, I refuse. We've known each other for like 2 years. I think we've hugged like once.
I've never hugged
like,
you.
We've never hugged.
I've only held your hand by force.
Now it's too late to start. Now it's weird.
I only forced you to hold my hand one time.
Yeah, when was that?
It was on the show.
Yeah,
it was on a show.
I didn't like it. It's sticky.
Okay, let me...
I'm the sticky one. I'm always sticky, so
yeah,
I don't
like...
Yeah,
you're transferring the sticky.
Yeah.
Let me... Okay, what about this? Okay, what happens whenever your burrito is an uneven burrito? Have you ever had an uneven burrito? Doesn't that anger you? Don't you just want to punch a wall whenever the guacamole is on the bottom and it's cold and it's making everything else cold?
I'm a bit of a pacifist, so as far as like punching walls are concerned, no, but that is a very fair point. So but I think with tacos and burritos, there's a certain amount of trust you need to have with the maker of it, right?
Okay.
Because things can ruin a taco like that. But I will say, uneven burritos, I have a technique. You ever seen The Karate Kid?
No.
Okay, so Daniel-san, right? So he got raps Ralph Macchio.
Yeah.
In the All-Valley Karate Tournament, he gets hurt. And then this is a bit
the
of...
crane?
Well, there's the crane kick, but before that, he gets hurt and he can't go on. So Pat Morita, Mr. Miyagi, he kind of rubs his hand together in a mystical way, which this gets into some weird, like, orientalization stuff in movies in the 80s and Japanophilia.
Okay.
So, you know, it doesn't age that super well. But anyways, he rubs his hands together and he kind of places them on Daniel and he, like, magically heals him. I have a technique to do that, but with burritos that are uneven, where I rub my hands together and then the like a pretty offensive Japanese music plays, and then I massage the insides of the burrito until they're
even.
I swear to God, I do
no,
this.
No, you don't.
I swear
I've
to
never
God.
Seen you do this.
You never
before.
Seen me burrito massage? That's because
no.
I'm doing it in the bathroom.
You're fine.
My burrito in the bathroom.
I have 3 carne asada burritos right in the fridge, and you can massage
where
them to your heart. Chipotle. I'm sorry. They had to be.
They're the king of uneven burritos. Also, Chipotle, I think, does give burritos a bad name, and I would like to introduce the theory that Chipotle serves wraps and not burritos.
Okay, well, I don't have time for that. But you know you can ask for the Chipotle burritos mix. You got to say, can you mix it a little bit? And they physically, like, pick up the tortilla and they go, wibble wobble. I know this because my friend's brother used to work there and he used to be like, yeah, sure. And then he would just, like, shimmy up.
Well, what else are you going to do? Mash it with your hands?
I don't know. What else can you do?
What else can you do?
But tacos, okay, let me tell you what it is. When you are a homeowner versus you rent an apartment, okay?
Yeah.
Burrito, home. Big investment.
True.
Big investment. So anything can go wrong, you know? Tacos, smaller, easier to manage.
So you're saying that you're going to rent your whole life?
No. I'm not saying that at all.
What about like a shared co-op townhome situation? Is that like a mulita?
It is a mulita.
It's a mulita. Okay, that makes sense. I understand.
No, let me tell you. It's a commitment. A burrito is a commitment, and it's just too much. And if I get a burrito, I'm going to eat all of it. I will eat from tip to toe. Mm-hmm. I will eat every single. I will suck the foil. I don't care. I'm crazy. Tacos, it is a little, you know, it's a little bite. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm getting, and I'm not going to overeat. I don't have an off button when it comes to burritos, when it comes to Mexican food in general. Mm-hmm. Even if I get like a plate, if I get a chile relleno with all of the rice and the beans, I'll eat all of it. And like tacos create a world where I don't need to overstuff myself with Mexican food. I can get however much I want and enjoy it and savor it and know that, okay, I'm good.
Tacos are like a nice, light, healthy meal. Honestly, like when I'm like eating in my what I consider my healthy phase, which is actually now, I'm going to go home and I have flat meat marinating in
good
just like a delicious carne asada marinade. And I'm just going to eat just 3 carne asada tacos sluiced with guacamole. And to me, the closest I come to a diet meal.
Yeah.
Are carne asada tacos and guac.
Tacos are like your go-to.
Yeah.
I've noticed.
I mean, like when I am just super hungry, like I'm a bigger person. I'm like a 215-pound gentleman. Mm-hmm. There is no burrito in the world, Nicole, that can stop me. I'm serious. I ate a 6-pound burrito from El Tepeyac in under 10 minutes.
That's crazy.
That's 6 pounds of food. I mean, it was just.
Did you get your picture on the wall?
No. Oh. They gave me a t-shirt, I think.
Well, that's nice of them.
I ate a pound of Yogurtland after.
Oh, did you throw up?
Yeah, but also because I drank.
Josh.
No, I didn't throw up. I didn't like binge drink. I just like, I had a couple beers because I was trying to calm my stomach down.
Oh my God.
But then you had the pound of dairy, 6 pounds of burrito, and like a couple Modelos on top of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just going to, because the Modelo starts.
Vomitar.
Because the Modelo starts frothing against the Yogurtland.
Yeah, it makes total sense.
Yeah. It was actually, as far as the throw up experience, it was more pleasant than it could have been.
Yeah, sometimes that happens.
You need the Yogurtland to coat.
Yeah. I totally know what you mean. Okay, another point I have against burritos. Okay, until I started working here, I did not know the art of rolling a burrito. Also, like, sometimes my fingers get, like, weird and, like, stay in a certain position. Don't know, is that arthritis? I don't know. But, like, it's hard.
Does Nicole have arthritis? This is a hot dog sandwich. My stance, yeah, I think so. You look like you would have arthritis.
You're so embarrassed. I embarrass myself, and then you allow me to become more embarrassed. Uh-huh. But, like, it's just the folding and, like, it's an effort. Like, the taco, all you gotta do is, okay, so this is how I warm up my tacos before I dress them. So I literally turn on the flame, I put the taco down, and then it gets hot.
On open flame?
On an open flame, mm-hmm. on the burner, and then I flip it, and then I eat it. Like, the whole burrito takes a lot longer. You gotta put it on. You gotta griddle it. You can't griddle it too much because then it gets too crispy. Mm-hmm. And then what happens when it gets too crispy? You gotta start all over again. What happens whenever it's not griddled enough? It starts to break because it's still raw. Like, what is that?
I feel like there is a deceptive skill to burrito rolling. And I think anyone who has been to, I mean, we just talked about the whole Chipotle thing, mm-hmm. but anyone who has seen the quality drop in Chipotle rolling skills, right, knows, I mean, people are just wrapping it into these like square diapers. So there's a skill to it. But I mean, that's why I do love specific like burrito specialists. Like you go to La Azteca Tortilleria mm-hmm. and you get the chile relleno burrito. I mean, to me, that is a masterclass in burrito architecture and something that has, I mean, as much skill as, you know, say the best taco and the people who are making the best, you know, organic, freshly nixtamalized corn tortillas in L.A. To me, I have so much reverence for the burrito artisans of the world. And Burritos La Palma is actually funny. I mean, one, we have to talk about the fact that there is a when I say a large subset of people, I mean Bill Esparza, a dude who we used to write together at L.A. Magazine, mm-hmm. who very strongly believes that a burrito is a taco. I think belief is even an understatement. Like he will just state it as fact that burrito is a regional name for a type of taco.
Okay. I mean, I'm not going to argue that. Like I think they're similar enough that – I mean, he seems like – if he was a writer, like, no, I mean, a writer too, but like, if
he wrote books about like Mexican food in LA,
this is who he is, and like, if he states it, like, I have no choice but to believe him.
Agreed.
Because it's what he knows and what he knows best. But I'm like, Josh, it's just so hard for me to roll the burrito myself.
have you been to Burritos La Palma?
Yes.
So, Burritos La Palma, I mean, they're quite small for what we would consider burritos.
Yes.
And I actually used to think that they were doing a regional style of burrito because a lot of people think that the burrito is like an American invention. Mm-hmm. which it's not. I mean, the name, the etymology is all kind of shady. Burrito, obviously, it's the diminutive form of burro, which means donkey. Mm-hmm. Some people think it's because an early vendor who was serving agricultural workers rode in on a donkey and carried, you know, these bigger meals in a flour tortilla, so they stayed warmer for the workers and whatnot.
Interesting, okay.
Some people think it's because it looks like the rolled packs on a donkey. What was I talking about?
Well, you said
burritos at La Palma. Oh,
yeah, burritos at La Palma. Yeah, we're talking about etymology.
ADD work and overdrive
today.
Yeah,
you were talking about etymology, and then you started talking about burritos at La Palma, and you're like, did you have it? And I said, yeah.
That's right. I was saying that a lot of people think that burritos are an American invention, but they were invented in Mexico, and they've been growing wheat in, like, the state of Sonora for the last 500 years.
Correct.
You know? And then different parts of Mexico, like I know in Baja and Ensenada, flour tortillas are really big. Like one of my favorite burritos, they actually call it a burrita. It's from
feminine?
Burrita, sí. Oh, happy
God.
International Women's Day.
Thank
is
you
when
so
we're recording
much.
Today.
Josh, give me $16.50.
Yeah, I didn't know how to support women on today because everyone on Twitter just seems to be really bungling it. So I just Venmo'd Nicole and V.
Yeah, that was a good idea.
I don't know, like, you know, support your local women.
I'm gonna
out
get
here.
Some.
Maggie, I'll Venmo you too. I'm sorry. I didn't, you know, it was the first time we've seen each other today. Point is, there are like burritos are, you know, authentic Mexican food in a lot of regions. Some people in Mexico may not have grown up with them, of course, but then they've been like co-opted by the Taco Bells and the Del Tacos of the world.
Yeah.
However, burritos La Palma is my single favorite bite of food in LA. Their chicharrón.
Which
burrito.
One? The chicharrón?
Chicharrón. Just
their chicken tinga with the potato changed my life.
That's my fourth favorite burrito at Burritos La Palma, and it is still one of the best. That's my fifth favorite burrito, in fact. Oh. I will. Shall we rank them?
Yeah. Okay. Number one, chicken tinga. Number two, birria. Number three, don't remember. Number four, chicharrón. I don't know. Number five, bean and cheese. Bean and cheese.
Bean and cheese. The bean and cheese is
okay.
Like,
yeah,
number
it's
two
chicken tinga. It's birria con queso. It's the bean and cheese, and then it's the chicharrón.
Deshebrada is their other one.
I didn't care for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. I didn't really care for it.
But the point is, they originally came from Zacatecas, Mexico, and I mm-hmm. always thought that they were doing, that's where their original restaurant was located.
Okay.
I always thought they were doing a regional style of burrito
okay.
that was from Zacatecas, but it's just like their own thing, pretty much. They kind of just like invented these small little like rolled burritos on their, you know, homemade flour tortillas, which are freaking fantastic, but they are the size of tacos, right? If you just unfurled those, it would be a taco de guisado. You go down to another taqueria like Asadero Chicali, which also makes some of the best flour tortillas and guisados. God, I love tacos.
You ate my guisado.
I just
the other day.
Yelled, "I love tacos!" as I'm arguing pro burritos.
Yeah, don't know what you're talking about, man.
Me neither. But anyway, what I'm saying is like the forms are indistinguishable. Sometimes a small enough burrito is very indistinguishable from a taco. It's only the tuck tips. Just tuck the tip. Just tuck the tip, Nicole. Why is this confusing to you?
It's not confusing to me. I have a preconceived notion of a burrito. And a burrito is a burrito. A taco is a taco, man. And the two things are different for me, but I understand they fall under the same umbrella and they can be used interchangeably if you choose to believe so.
If you choose to believe so.
Yeah, I just like tacos, man. They're easier for me. I love effort. I love putting in a little extra bit of pizzazz. It's just tacos. It's always tacos. It's always been tacos.
The Spork team tried 8 White Castle frozen products, including the sliders, of course, and ranked them all from worst to best. Check out the full ranking on Spork.com to find out what White Castle delights the freezer section holds. The thing that a burrito can never hit, because a taco can be on flour or corn tortillas,
correct.
Right?
Yes,
a burrito,
yes.
Like, by definition, you can't. Actually, I just read a story about it.
Have you had one before?
On a corn tortilla?
Yeah, like a corn tortilla burrito.
There's no gluten in corn, so like a pure corn tortilla won't make the full fold.
Yeah.
Although I like just came across a headline that said someone was doing a corn tortilla burrito.
Maybe it's a fusion. Maybe they put a little bit of flour, a little bit of corn
that's
to give
cheating.
It a little bit of like derb. I don't think it's cheating. I think it's
cheating.
Ingenuity. It's ingenuity, Josh.
Ingenuity.
Yeah, you.
Ingenuity by Nicole.
Well, is that
her
my
new
perfume
scent?
Cream?
Yeah. It smells like trunk tacos.
What are Trump tacos?
Trunk tacos.
Trunk tacos.
Not Trump's taco salad, which was one of the most.
This is the funniest.
The only truly funny thing to come out of that whole presidency was the taco salad at Trump Tower with him thumbs upping saying, "We love Hispanics." And eating the least Mexican dish in the world.
That's probably like a $25 salad.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it has
no...
you know exactly what that tastes like. You know how much sour cream
is
on that
thing.
Yeah,
it has no business being $25.
No, no, no.
Let me just tell you that. But yeah, if I wasn't doing this, I would probably be an abnormal sexual psychologist. And if I wasn't doing that, I'd probably be in the perfume industry.
I'd be a paranormal sexual psychologist. I'd be hunting down sexy ghost stories, you know.
Why?
Trying to find out. What I'm saying is.
Always bullying me.
I'm saying that the only thing I truly miss in terms of tacos versus burritos is the beauty of the best corn tortilla you've ever had.
Okay.
Which can be otherworldly. And there's so many places doing awesome corn tortillas.
Sure.
In LA. I mean, from the high end, you guys go down to guys like Carlos Salgado at Taco Maria, mm-hmm. who are making these like beautiful blue corn tortillas. All the dudes at Macienda, at Kernel of Truth.
Yep.
But I mean, even before that, I mean, I remember eating Guisados was like one of the first just like fresh made corn tortillas that wasn't made from like Maseca, which is like the pre-made you know, masa stuff. It was like otherworldly. Like, and that beauty of the corn is something I miss with a burrito. But, God, they're just so satisfying. Like, what I imagine people experience when they hug other people, because I don't, but what I imagine they experience, that's what my mouth experiences
with
a burrito.
No, I don't know what it is. Have you ever been hugged by someone and it's overwhelming? That's what a burrito is to me. When someone hugs you too long, you're just like, and your hands like
the
at your
shortest
side.
Of hugs are overwhelming.
No. It's like someone's hugging you for a long time, and they're like squeezing their nose in your eye, and you're just like, oh my god, like, and your hands are to the side. You're just like, get off of me.
It's cloying.
Like, that's what a burrito is to me. Sometimes it's overbearing. It's too much for me to handle. But a burrito, La Palma burrito, isn't too much for me to handle because it's in a cute, compact size.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's just I'm talking about like the ease of. Well, also some people would disagree with me and say that a burrito is much easier to eat than a taco.
I do believe that. So I mean, one, we should talk about like fast food burritos and tacos.
Yeah, one time I had an El Pollo Loco burrito that had the French fries in it, and it was really easy to eat, and I really enjoyed it, and I ate in my car, and I was just like zoom zoom, and I was eating, and it was great.
Yeah, El Pollo Loco. They started doing Tapatio flavored French fries. Have you had them?
Yeah, that's the one I
is
had.
Is that the one you had? Was it good?
I had chicken. I think I said no rice. It was chicken. It was beans. It was Tapatio French fries and nacho cheese,
bro.
And
you couldn't get that in a taco. It wouldn't make sense.
It wouldn't make sense in a taco. It was a fantastic. But the bottom. What happened to the bottom, Josh? What happened to the bottom?
Did it unfurl? Did it roll? Did it get sogged through?
No, the sour cream was located in the butt. Sour cream was on the butt, and I didn't like that.
Well, have you ever had someone like really screw up a taco, like griddle the tortilla for too long, so it's almost like, and it's like a mission pre-made tortilla, so it's kind of waxy and crappy.
But even at that point, I can soak it in salsa and it fixes itself.
Mm, that's a fair point.
It fixes itself. Burritos don't have that ability to you know, be versatile enough to fix themselves. Once you screw it up, you screw it up. And that's it. And you can't open it and refix it. You've made your bed. Now you got to lie in it.
Burritos are about consistency, for better or worse. Tacos are about innovation and variety.
Yeah, and I'm all about innovation and variety.
What's funny is I typically am too, but I think I find enough innovation and variety within my own burrito eating experiences. Nicole, you've seen me eat a meal.
More than once.
It's probably pretty upsetting sometimes the way I do it.
The way you ate your egg this morning, you made soup egg, and it was great.
Yeah, I made I toasted toast in a pan, and then that got scorching hot. And then I just threw some eggs in there, and I very unceremoniously flopped them on top of a piece of bread. I folded it in half till all the yolk exploded.
Mm-hmm.
Then I put hot sauce on it, and I soaked it all up.
Yeah.
Anyways, what I'm saying is I really enjoy playing with my food in that sense. So every time I sit down to a meal, especially a burrito, I literally will take 6 to 7 bottles of hot sauce, and I will just unload different hot sauces on each bite. So to me, I'm almost creating that variety within a tent pole of consistency, right? And that's what I want.
Yes, I've seen you eat. Yes.
So I think, Nicole, you and I are more similar than different.
I don't think so. I think we're very different.
You just like people hugging you, and my body goes through like physical convulsions when it happens.
I love being hugged. I love a reassuring touch on the shoulder.
I church hug. I've been informed that I church hug. I hook around, and I do not let my body touch anyone.
But why? Hugs are so lovely.
Nah, it's gross.
Hugs are so nice.
I want people to feel my heat.
Yeah, what do you mean? You share the warmth. It's nice. But you ever hug someone, and then they hug you, and then they like push you in? Have you ever hugged someone, and they go like, ugh?
No, I don't like that. Also, people tend to shy away from me when I try and hug them. So it's created a sort of, you know, whirlpool effect of neither of us wanting to hug the other. And that's the way I prefer it. Just the way I prefer burritos over tacos.
I don't know, man. I like tacos and I like hugs. So if you see me, don't give me a hug. Just ask and then also give me a taco.
Yeah, if you ever think about hugging me, give me a burrito instead. That'd be really advisable, I think. I think we'd both get out of that one feeling better.
I don't know, man. I mean, at the end of the day, like, I am staunch in my waist. Is that the right word? Staunch?
Staunch, yeah.
I'm staunch. Yeah. I am staunch
taco supporter.
I'm a staunch taco supporter.
What are there any other, because we mentioned, like, Mulita's.
Quesadillas.
Julia is a quesadilla fiend. That's how I courted Julia.
Oh,
I would, like, I remember once I was going over to her apartment. It was maybe like our fourth or fifth date. Things had started to get a little bit serious. And we're planning on going out with our friends. And I brought over just a thing of tortillas and a pound of shrimp and a block of Monterey Jack cheese.
Wow.
And she was like, "What did you? Why did you? Why do you have raw shrimp with you showing up to a person on like the fourth time?" And I was like, "You're gonna see. You're gonna see later." And then like you know, 2 a.m. rolls around, and I'm in there frying up shrimp
in her house.
In her house, yeah, in her apartment, deglazing with Chipotle.
In her house?
Yeah, dude, I made her like a Chipotle shrimp quesadilla at 2 in the morning.
She let you cook shrimp in the house? She
yeah,
let you
all make the house? Shrimp. Yeah, that's the special mom we have. Love you, Julia.
I don't know if I went on a date with someone for the fourth time and I said, "Hey, honey, here's a bag of raw shrimp. You'll see in a few hours what this is about."
Yeah, Nicole.
I would run it. I'd be like, "Get the heck out of my house," and I'd keep the trip.
You use physical intimacy like hugs to show love. I use a pound of shrimp. And that is where we really differ.
I love quesadillas. There was a period of time during culinary school when my palate was just so overloaded with foods and like different things that I would just go home in like a daze. Like I smelled like cigarette smoke and I had stains all over my shirt. And I would just literally take a tortilla, flop it, put cheese on it, flop it, put it in the microwave, put it back into the toaster oven.
Oh, no.
And then I would eat it and then I'll go to bed. Like I did that ritual for about 3 months.
I went through a weird phase where all I would do is get organic corn tortillas just because I really like them, like the good quality stuff.
Yeah.
And I would get like refried beans in a can and I'd add a couple dashes of hot sauce and water, microwave them, and then just use the tortilla as a claw to swipe beans and just suck it down. And I was eating that like 3 days a week.
Yeah.
Like just out of, like you said, your palate gets overloaded. We're cooking so much crazy stuff here.
Yeah.
That sometimes it's like, I don't need anything but the promise of just like bean and tortilla or cheese and tortilla.
Totally.
And I think it's beautiful.
Yeah. I think in the tacos versus burritos battle, quesadillas win.
Really?
Oh my God. I love quesadillas.
No, I think to me, I think you're limited by the, oh God, I do want a lobster quesadilla
I
right now.
I love quesadillas.
All right, you are officially crowned the champion.
You can put anything in a quesadilla. You could put avocados in a quesadilla. You could put squash blossoms in a quesadilla.
I've been on a real big quesadilla.
You were going to do that.
Shrimp and quesadilla.
I knew it. I do think, okay, I don't know. I love quesadillas, but I'm still a taco girl through and through.
I will hold fast in my varied burrito relationship. There are so many burritos that I love. Shout out to Cilantro Mexican Grill up in North Hollywood. Shout out to Pablito's Taco. Shout out to the carne asada burrito at Corner Deli and Grill on the west side. The one that's in the Chevron.
I don't know what you're talking about, dude.
I got a whole list of gas station burritos that slap in LA.
Yeah,
we'll talk
slack
after.
We'll talk after.
Do you wake up in a cold sweat from your work dreams?
Have a coworker who keeps inviting you to do escape rooms?
Can't get a coworker to agree to do escape rooms?
Or are you just genuinely not sure how to take the next step in your career?
I'm Kate.
And I'm Kim. And together we run Amy Poehler's company, Paper Kite Productions.
We've been friends and colleagues for years, so we know how important it is to feel like someone has your back at work.
And we want to be that for you.
So we're hosting a weekly advice show where we answer all your work-related questions.
Something amazing happened. I got offered my dream job.
How am I supposed to bring this up to him without hurting his feelings? What should I do?
I want to like skip the pleasantries without being an asshole.
Careful, money and friends, they don't mix, babes.
They don't. And don't work with your friends, make your friends at work.
All right, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but that was actually $1 million advice.
Whether you need advice or just love to listen to other people's problems, this show is for you.
Listen and follow Million Dollar Advice, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nicole, you say it this time.
Nicole, we've heard what you and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what wacky ideas are rattling around there in the Twitterverse.
Twitter in the Twitterverse.
It's time for a segment we call
Opinions Are Like Casserole.
I'm sorry. I had a...
I thought you crushed it.
Twitter voice.
Twitter voice. Hey, Nicole, we heard what you and I had to say. All right. First up, we got the real Shamil. Kraft mac and cheese should be outlawed for crimes against cheese. I'm all for outlawing things that you don't personally like. I think we should ban raw celery. I think anyone who eats raw celery in the home, you know, should just be sort of like rounded up in a paddy wagon.
What about celery juice?
Oh, celery juice as well.
I love celery juice.
It's got to be cooked. Got to be braised celery juice. I understand, though. Kraft mac and cheese, it has a very chemical taste. Like, if you're someone who's only eaten real cheese and then you eat that, obviously there is quote unquote real cheese in there. It's dehydrated and powdered, et cetera. But it's got a very unique, like, nutritional, yeasty, chemically taste.
Absolutely.
Along with the food dye, which I believe now is just paprika extract and turmeric, because they got the food dye out of it. But yeah, I can see how someone would think this, but also it's such a nostalgic flavor for me that I love it.
Yeah, I love Kraft mac and cheese. I don't think it should be outlawed at all. I think it should be given a Medal of Honor. So opposite.
Chop up some Hebrew natties in there?
No, I never did that. But no? I did put a lot of buffalo sauce on it and green onions. Yeah.
Oh, that's smart. That's smart.
Okay. Mariah Wears Cook Socks says, Chewy Chips Ahoy suck. I love these!
I ate so many Chewy Chips Ahoy at my best friend Deep's house in high school. They're addictive. And the way they do it.
So good.
Have you really Googled how they do?
No, I don't care. I want the mystery. I want the mystery. I don't care.
Dude, you don't want me to tell you? Fine.
Fine. Tell me.
No, but I'm saying you make a cookie that's chewy and then you wait a couple days and then it becomes like hard, right? Like that's, you know.
Huh?
Like cookies, they'll like harden as they dehydrate and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, but these, it's literally a different type of sugar. It's like using dextrose versus sucrose versus fructose.
Yeah.
One of them like will maintain a chewy texture.
Very cool.
For a long time. Yeah. I again, this is another very chemically food to me that is also very delicious. Chewy Chips Ahoy. What a lovely texture.
Delicious. One of my favorites.
Also normal Chips Ahoy. They're good, man.
I don't like normal Chips Ahoy. No, too crunchy for me. Tates?
Tates are
the best.
Crispy and buttery.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Famous Amos.
Oh my God. Debbie used to bring Famous Amos to school every day and I would steal a cookie.
Favorite prepackaged cookie, though. Ginger Snaps. And also.
You're alone on that one.
Smart and Final. They got a great brand of Ginger Snaps. Street Ginger Snaps.
I'm a big Lotus Biscoff cookie.
Like, oh.
You ever had
those are good.
Yeah. One time, Mint Milano.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I resent Milanos because the rich pretty kids in my school would bring them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't do that. All right. We got at Natty Moore. French toast is best eaten smothered with cheese whiz and maple syrup. Well, this makes me vaguely sick to think about.
Yeah, me too. It makes my tummy go, woo. Mm-hmm. Not a good way.
French toast is, well, Nicole, we talked about doing this for the podcast, but decided there was no great way to sort of communicate it, and we don't think anyone cares but us.
No.
But you know what I'm talking about, the French toast thing?
French toast is custard.
No, I believe French toast, the bare minimum, is let's have this argument
okay,
right
fine,
now.
Let's do it. Okay, fine. I don't care.
I don't got anything to do.
I don't know me either.
This is my whole day.
Yeah, I think.
Hanging out with you
okay,
here.
Yeah, do it.
Not hugging.
Yeah, start.
So French toast, the bare minimum is bread that has been dredged in whisked egg.
That's it?
Yes.
Why?
That's the bare minimum. Okay, but I realized.
What about milk? Okay, it needs to be with milk or cream or half and half or almond milk and egg.
I think that you may be right, and I realize I have a skewed version on this because my family is from South Africa, right? And apparently in South Africa, they eat, someone correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm sure I am, I believe called eggy bread, which is literally just, you know, egg and bread.
Uh-huh.
But I grew up eating that, and my grandma called it French toast because that was kind of like her American translation. But eggy bread is served, and we used to eat this eggy bread. I would put maple syrup on it because I thought it was French toast, but then it's really just bread, eggs, and maple. But I was talking to, shout out to Grant Muirhead, my old gym buddy who's from Durban, South Africa, and he was talking about this, and he was like, yeah, mate, we put ketchup on it. That's not how Grant sounds. I just wanted to say that. But they put ketchup on eggy bread, and he told me about when he went to, like, New York for the first time, he put maple syrup on, or someone served maple syrup with French toast, and he was so confused because he was like, this is eggy bread. You're supposed to put ketchup on it.
No.
Yeah. So I now understand that this is just a cultural mix-up on my bed.
Yeah.
And I even apologize.
Say sorry.
I'm sorry.
Venmo me a dollar.
I'll Venmo you another dollar. God, jeez. I'm broke out here.
Okay. Yeah, this does not sound good at all, and I wouldn't do this. I just wouldn't do this.
No. No, cheese with maple syrup. That does not appeal to me at all.
T.S. Hukita 95 says, plain Lay's chips. Wait, hold on. Plain Lay's chips dipped in mustard. Okay.
Yeah. No, I've done that before.
That sounds like a nice little low fat, low carb dipping sauce. I don't get it, but okay.
It's funny, people who, like, I know a lot of athletes and bodybuilder type people, and when they're trying to cut and stuff, like, if I'm ever looking for a calorie-free condiment, hot sauce to me is the way to go, right? Citrus, herbs, chilies, it's great, calorie-free, you know, healthy old thing.
Totally.
But I know a weird amount of people, buddy Nick Scarvelis, a pro shot putter, he would just carry around a thing of mustard, and he would, like, squirt mustard on his rice. But anyways, I started just doing that. I started dipping weird things in mustard because I saw him putting it on rice. Yeah, it's pretty tasty, you know?
A lot of people do that. A lot of people that are health conscious and they're trying to, like, cut. do that.
Mustard's nice.
Yeah, mustard
is good. I'm big on mustard. Dip some chips in mustard. Also, mustard's like a, it's one of those things, it gets paired with ketchup and hot dogs so much that people sort of denigrate it for how complex of a condiment it is.
Totally. There's so much more than just yellow American ballpark mustard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grey Poupon. All right, we got a fun leashed. Are cake donuts donuts or just mini bundt cakes? I've talked about this before. I don't know. I don't know where I stand on this anymore. I used to say that cake donuts are not donuts, that a donut has to be a yeast-risen dough, and that cake donuts satisfy an entirely different thing. But then you're starting to, then you get into crullers, right? Because crullers are pâte à choux, but they're all served at donut shops. So cake donuts, which is like a wet batter that's fried. I don't know.
I consider a cake donut a donut. It's in the shape of a donut.
What's the shape of a donut?
Round with a hole in it.
So you're telling me a maple bar is not a donut?
It's a bar.
You're saying a maple bar is not a donut, but a cake donut is?
Yeah.
GTF, the all the way out of here.
I can. I work here.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, actually, don't leave. We have a lot of stuff to
do. Yeah, got a lot of stuff to do.
Please stay. Please stay. But no, this might be something where we have to go a whole podcast into because, I mean, you don't think so. I mean, there are all these different types of dough. What links them all together?
It's just fried dough.
Is all fried dough a donut? Then you're talking about elephant ears. What about a funnel cake? Is a funnel cake a donut?
You're not letting me speak.
I'm sorry.
Happy
International Women's Day.
I think a maple bar is fried dough. I think a donut is a fried dough. I think cake donuts are a sect of donut.
Do you think the shape of a donut has to be round for it to be a donut?
No, it doesn't have to be, but I prefer it to be.
So the donut is like the phylum. I just realized. I don't know science.
Yeah. And I know where you're going, and we should talk about this on the podcast. Elms7346 says, scrambled eggs taste better with peanut butter, salt, and pepper mixed in to give creaminess. I think we tried something similar like this with sriracha, and it didn't really work.
No, it's something that I love putting peanut butter in a lot of things. And recently, I've just started putting tahini in a bunch of things because I...
Oh, yeah.
It's so hard to buy a small amount of tahini,
right? Yeah, impossible. You got to buy the big jar.
You got to buy the big $14 Sadaf one. And so I've just been tossing it in everything. I made like a tahini hot sauce. It was really lovely.
Ooh.
So I'm down to try some like tahini and fine herbs scrambled eggs. But the peanut butter and eggs didn't really work for me.
Sounds gross.
It's not my thing. But I do love the fact that people will put peanut butter in anything.
Yeah.
And peanut butter hot dog, not bad. I would want to thin the peanut butter out with a little hot dog water first, though. At Noel_Vitali, you think I'm kidding? I ain't kidding. Boiling hard-boiled eggs for too long doesn't actually matter.
Do you want to take this?
You go.
Okay.
You talking about the gray?
Okay. Yeah, we're talking about the gray. The gray little, what do you want to call it?
The ring of death. It's a gray ring of death.
Yeah, the sulfury ring of death. So it does matter because the sulfur, I believe, releases... And it creates this ring, and it makes an unpleasant eggy smell and taste. I grew up in a home that all of the eggs had a gray film around them. All of them. Every single darn hard-boiled egg I had a gray freaking film on it. But then I learned, oh my God, like, you can take it out in like 10 minutes, and it's like totally delicious and beautiful and yellow and perfectly cooked in the center, and it tastes good. Wow.
I used to think it didn't matter until I had a perfectly cooked hard-boiled egg.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, that's what this thing is supposed to taste like.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to like actually double-check the Googling on the science of the thing. Because I feel like there may be something that we don't know about egg chemistry and whatnot. But from my personal experience, yeah, just boiling them for forever and ever. It's almost like a meat. Like you can overbraise meat to the point where it's so tender that it almost becomes dry in a way.
Yes.
You know, it kind of turns into like chewing gum in your teeth. Mm-hmm. And you suck all the liquid out and you still got this like meat pulp. So I think you can overcook hard-boiled eggs. At @urban_hobbit, as a former New Jerseyan, I just want more anger about Tony Bologna's.
What is Tony Bologna's?
Tony Bologna's makes the most viral food on Instagram.
Really?
And like Insider, you know, Food Insider,
yeah.
Thrillist, all these places that traffic in food virality.
This guy with the crazy pizzas?
Yeah, they'll make like, they were the ones that made a pizza box out of pizza crust.
Oh my God.
They put like 50 tacos and a bunch of guacamole on a pizza.
Yum.
We talked about him in our food Instagram video. I think, I don't want to speak for you, but I think we probably both look at him and be like, good job, you did it.
Yeah,
like, this is the hustle.
I really appreciate the work he does.
And it also, a lot of it looks really freaking good. He did the thing where he like wrapped, and the semantics of a lot of his things get a little bit murky because he's like taking a whole pizza and he's like wrapping up like a chicken parm sandwich in it.
Super
and he's calling
cool.
it like a burrito and stuff. But that said, like he has a sandwich right now that is a bone-in beef rib. in like a hoagie roll.
That's his sandwich?
That's his sandwich, and you remove the bone.
Oh my God, what a satisfying
genius.
Sandwich.
Tony Bologna, like, I mean, love him or hate him, genius, makes very craveable looking food.
Really does.
You may think it's leading to the downfall of Rome. I just think I want to put that freaking beef rib sandwich in my mouth.
Me too.
But I'm mad too, as someone who's heard of New Jersey.
Yeah, me too, I'm mad about it.
Oh, this next one's good, Nicole.
Irvina A6 says, imitation crab is the most underrated protein. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's underrated too.
I will snack on the sticks. I snack on the sticks. I eat them like a string cheese.
Surimi does not get enough love, man.
It doesn't. So,
it really doesn't.
What is it? It's typically like pollock or a fish. Mm-hmm. A very pollock. Heavily fished. Yeah, pollock. Yeah. That's like, you know, pretty much like ground down and processed with like sugar and salt and delicious things. And yeah, food dye to give it that kind of orange. But God, is it just, delicious.
It's really delicious.
And it's what keeps my California rolls at $2.49 from Sushi Stop.
I love Sushi Stop. Yes, this is a very, very good opinion. Well done.
No food's imitation. No food is fake if I can eat it. If I can eat it, that's real food. This ain't imitation crab. This is Kanikama.
Just call it, what's Kanikama, huh?
I think Kanikama is a more accurate name for it. I think that's the mixture like that you'd put in a California roll.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I just call it surimi.
Just don't call me late for dinner. Okay. My dad always said that. I never knew what it meant.
Josh.
I'm hungry.
You just ate a salad.
Exactly.
With
I just ate a salad isn't food. You know, it's like drinking coffee doesn't hydrate you. Like eating salad doesn't make you less hungry.
It does.
Salad's not food. Next time on the podcast, salad's not food. It's like a water. It's like a going to a drinking fountain. And on that note, thank you for listening to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich. If you want to hear more from us here in the Mythical Kitchen, we got new episodes for you every Wednesday.
If you want to be featured on Opinions Are Like Casseroles, you can hit us up on Twitter at Mythical Chef or @Hendizadeh with the hashtag Opinion Casserole.
For more Mythical Kitchen, check us out on YouTube where we launch new videos every week.
And of course, if you want to share pictures of your dishes, hit us up on Instagram at Mythical Kitchen.
See you next time.
Let's go get tacos.
Yeah, oh my God.